reason why, when I say, hey, has God done anything in your life? He brought you to church today. You're breathing. Come on today. You're alive today, right? We were singing that song, and I love this man named Frank, and Frank on the front row is amazing. I talk about gangs in my message, and he goes, Pastor, I got you. I know what it was like to be in gangs. And I see, as I'm worshiping and we're singing this song, I see tears coming down his eyes. Because he knows that God is a miracle worker, way maker. Come on, God saved him, delivered him. And then I met his daughter. Her name, what's your name, sweet? Faith. So I start talking about her dad and she's tearing up. See, why we do what we do, it's not about a new building. There's at least 1,000 Franks waiting for us to get to Anaheim. There's at least 500 Benny Perez's that are waiting. Has anybody been delivered from a drug or addiction or something? Can I just see your hand? Okay, keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. This is for the glory of God. Now, I want you to listen for a second. Keep your hand up. Multiply all the hands by hundreds of people that are waiting for us. Come on, to get to Anaheim. Come on, it's not about a building. Come on, it's about more people. So just two things I just felt the Holy Spirit just say to me. I know I have to get to Irvine to preach. I know. Just tell me to go longer and worship. And I'll come right in, just right to the pulpit and I'll preach. There's two things I felt like the Holy Spirit just said to me. Just a prophetic, just a little drive-by. You know what a drive-by is. If you said amen too loud, okay, we need to pray for you right now. Little drive-by is right this. There's two things, God, I would just encourage all of us. You need to be serving in the house and sowing in the house. Two things. Somebody say serve and sow. In other words, I'm going to be serving in kids ministry, serving in hospitality, serving in Grow Track, serving whatever else that they need. I know they need more kids ministry. Everybody needs more kids ministry. If you don't like kids, don't go there. If you don't like people, you're security, 100%. Somebody say, serve. And what is sowing? Sowing is giving. You got, listen, this is your house. Come on, let's take responsibility and let's build the house of God. Can I hear it? One more big amen. Give God a 5-second praise break, everybody. Stay standing. Stay standing. Let me tell you why we need another building. They have chairs all the way down the hallway, all the way almost to the lobby. Stand up out there, people, so we can see you. Stand up out there. Stand up. Stand up so we can see you. If this building was half empty right now, I'd be saying, don't go to Anaheim. How do we know God's in it? Because we're over capacity. This church will double in 1 year. Okay. Hi, stop clapping so much. All right, let's go to some of you. You can smile. It's okay to smile in church. Okay. I know I'm a little corny in what I say, but it's just me. We're going to go to the Bible, Mark chapter 4. We're going to read this. You'll see it up on the screen. Stay standing for the word of God. Worship team, you are on fire today. Muy fuego. Habla español. See? Yeah? Not me. Here we go. Okay, verse 36. Are you ready for the word? The more you say amen, the quicker I preach. Are you ready for the word? Amen. Jesus speaking, and this is a story about Jesus. He says, leaving the crowd behind, the disciples got into the boat in which Jesus already sitting. And they took Jesus with them, and other boats sailed with them. Next, verse 36 says, suddenly, somebody say suddenly, as they were crossing over from Fullerton to Anaheim, a ferocious storm or challenge arose with violent winds and waves that were crashing into the boat until it was nearly swamped. But Jesus was calmly sleeping in the stern, resting on a cushion. Somebody say resting. How many know when you're fearful, Jesus is not, he's resting. So they shook him awake saying, look what he says, teacher, don't you even care? They were all about to die. They included Jesus in that, all about to die. Fully awake. Isn't it crazy? Jesus did not wake up because of the storm. He woke up because the disciples that were afraid of the storm. Fully awake, he rebuked the storm and shouted to the sea, hush, orele, be still. That's for any Mexicans in the place. Any Hispanics, Latinos in the place? Three of you, fantastic. Oh my gosh, that's so racist. My wife is white, bro. Come on, man. I got three kids called coconuts. How can I be a racist, okay? Please stop it. Oh, I feel too good. That's not your church. Don't be there. Don't be like that. All at once, the wind stopped howling and the water became perfectly calm. Now watch just a couple more verses. Then he turned to his disciples and said to them, why are you so afraid? Haven't you learned to trust? I like the passion. Put that back again, my brothers, my sisters back there. You're doing a great job. Haven't you learned to what? Say it louder. Haven't you learned to what? To trust. Yet. Verse 41, and we close. But they were overwhelmed with fear and awe and said to one another, who is this man who has such authority that even the wind, come on, and the waves obey him? Father, thank you for your word today. Help me to preach concisely and to the point. I feel something prophetically, and I already declare that building in Anaheim belongs to us. And we are, Lord God, going to be obedient. And Lord, I want to believe an audacious prayer. Let us raise more than $1 million, God, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody said amen. You may be seated. I want to just talk to you on this thought. Thank you, my brothers. I want to talk to you on this thought. God is taking us somewhere. Somebody say, God is taking us somewhere. Look at your neighbor and say, God is taking you somewhere. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't know if he's taking you anywhere. Don't tell him that. Don't tell him that. If it was my wife, I'd say, I know where I'm taking you. I'm taking you to a good lunch today. Amen. God is taking us somewhere. Everything about the realm of God is not static. God is always moving. The Bible says that God, even with his people, he's always moving his people. We are called to go from glory, come on, to glory. Come on, somebody, to glory. We are called to go from strength to strength. We are not called just to stay where we are because God's kingdom is always advancing. How do you know? Because Jesus said that he's going to build the church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is not a statement of hell increasing. It's the church is going forward. And the gates of hell, come on, cannot stop what God wants to do at Freedom House Church. So we're always moving. Somebody say moving. Say we're going forward. God always has a plan. Come on, say it with conviction. God always has a plan. Yeah. So if you understand the kingdom of God, it's never going backward. Listen, Jesus is not doing a moonwalk. Come on, Michael Jackson. He is not going backwards. He's always going forward. So I want to just put this thought into your head that the message is not just about Freedom House Church corporately, but it's about your life individually. Because what God does in the church, and most of the time he's doing it, come on, somebody, in your life. So as Church LV continues to grow, continues to grow, and thousands upon thousands of people are coming to multiple locations in Las Vegas. As we are now buying land and we're ready to build a brand new building, we're going to expand our 100,000 square foot building and add another 35,000 square feet to it. And we're going to build a transformation center. Like my church and this church, people look at me like, how are we going to do that? Why are we doing that? Because God is never static. God is always moving forward. You're never meant just to live in the same spot, because when you're stagnant, you stop growing. And when you stop growing, you stop living. I don't want to retire and be in a rocking chair, have a lot of motion, not going anywhere. Come on, somebody. In fact, biblically, you're never called to retire. You're called to refire. You're called to retread. Come on, somebody. So if God is always moving us somewhere, in my own life, I'll be 59 this year. Yeah, I know, I don't look like it. It's okay. It's called Botox. Come on, big shout out. Is he kidding? No, it's real. How come his face doesn't move? I just told you why. No shame in my game. When I show up with a full head of hair, you know what I went to, Bosley. Wow, didn't he have no hair before? What's up with your group? Whoa, I'll tell you right now, and I'll give you a code to get me some money back. It's called affiliate marketing. Come on. Okay, stop it. Stop it, Perez. Stop it. So I want to give you the title again. God is taking us somewhere. How many believe that God is taking Freedom House somewhere? Come on in the overflow. Come on. How many? Oh, overflow out there. How many believe? Come on in the hallway. How many believe? Wave your hand on me. God is taking us somewhere. So here's what Jesus says. Jesus now has been ministering, and he says these words to his disciples. Any disciples of Jesus here? Wave your hand at me. Wave your hand. Come on. Come on. Where's my peeps? Come on. Wave your hand at me. Give me some energy. Big energy, somebody. Big energy right now. Okay. So he says to them, let us cross over to the other side. Retranslate that. Guys, I'm taking you somewhere. And it's very interesting that as Jesus is already in the boat, he invites them to where he is. See, we think we're someplace and then God catches up to us. No, the Bible says he was already in the boat. God is not catching up to us. We're catching up to God. God, I believe, is already in Anaheim. Come on in that building. He's just sitting there waiting to say, guys, it's time to go from Fullerton. Come on, Anaheim. Let us cross over to the other side. So the Bible says that they get into the boat as he was, and other little boats went with him. So we read the story as they start to cross over, a suddenly storm happens. Howling winds, massive waves. Disciples are fearful. Jesus is sleeping. And in this story, the Lord began to speak to me, and the Lord gave me this message to preach to this church. Before I knew what was happening with that meeting with WIF, I knew this message when Pastor said, can you preach this week? And I said, yes. I said, which message? He says, preach on peace, this message. I said, okay, got it. And I want to give you just four or five things that God told me to tell you for the church and for your life. And if you would take some notes and listen to this IBM preacher. What's IBM? Itty Bitty Mexican Preacher. I'm so stupid. I know I'm corny. I'm sorry. Some guests are like, why did I come to church here today, you know? Number one, write this down. Us is always better than me. Woo! Somebody say, us is always better than me. Notice what he said. He tells us about, let us go over to the other side. First of all, this implies a journey that God is taking us somewhere. There is a path that God has for you and God has for me. We cannot predict what's on the path. We cannot control what's on the path, but we have to understand that God is with us. Come on, somebody, on the path. And I didn't say this to the first one, but I'm saying this right now. Notice that he said, let us go over to the other side, and they left the multitude, the crowd behind. The reason why some of you don't move forward in your life is you stick with the crowd that is mediocre. If you want to do something great, you got to leave some crowds behind. You got to leave your limited thinking behind. You got to leave what your mama said, your daddy said, what your upbringing said, what your nationality said, what then he said about, I don't care about your skin color. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. And people use all these excuses, but we got to get out of the excuse and say, no, if God is taking me somewhere, I'm going to go with him. And if I have to, I will leave mediocrity behind me. They told me as Hispanic, I can't lead a church unless it's filled with a bunch of Hispanics. In fact, when people meet me and they find out I'm a mega church pastor, they say, oh, are you a Spanish-speaking church? I said, no, I don't even speak Spanish. They imply to me that because I'm Hispanic or Latino, that that's all I could pastor. I said, no. I pastor one of the most multi-ethnic churches in America. I pastor thousands of people, and it doesn't matter what my skin color is. It doesn't matter if I'm man or female. All that matters is that God has anointed me. And some of you got to get comfortable with leaving mediocrity behind. You got to be comfortable with leaving the criticism behind. Some of you care too much what people say about you. I don't have time to think about what people think about me. Somebody came up to me and they go, well, Pastor, see what they're writing about you on Facebook? I said, no, I don't want to waste my time what they think about me. All I know is what God thinks about me. See, the problem is, if you are more concerned about a man's voice, you'll miss God's voice. People get all mad because you get blessed or because God's doing something. And watch me, Jesus says, let us is better than me. And he says, well, I got to leave the crowd behind. Listen, that's why being at Freedom House Church is so important. Why? This is not a crowd, it's a community. This is not just some hanging out, it's brothers and sisters. We are about to change the world. We are about to make history. We are about to do something that Orange County has not seen in 30 years. Is anybody with me right now? So he says, let us. We need each other. I said, we need each other. Even gang members are better disciplers than sometimes the church. You never see a gang member like, orale, walking by themselves. You never see that. I didn't see that growing up where I grew up. I didn't see one gang member. I saw like five of them. When I got jumped, it wasn't one of them. They needed five for me. Actually, it was only two. I got jumped for my sister's pink bike. Mm-hmm. They jumped me in Smith Park in Pico Rivera, California. Started beating me up. What did you do? I screamed, ah, help. I got jumped because I was by myself. See, in America, we have this, well, it's just me and Jesus. It's just a personal thing. No, it's not. That's not Bible. The Bible says you're part of a family. The Bible says you have brothers, you have sisters. And when we gather together, come on, somebody, we're more powerful. Why? One will put 1,000, two will put 10,000. What will happen if all of us understand it is us? Because when I'm down, you pick me up. When you're down, I pick you up. That's why we're going to pack out, come on, for the Kingdom Man Conference. And we're going to have, come on, somebody, 1,000 men coming together. Why? Us is better than me. Number two, write it down. So Jesus brings them over. And number two, very simply, is this. Is surprises apply to me, not to Jesus. I write it down. Surprises apply to me, not to Jesus. The Bible says, suddenly a storm arose. It was not expected. No preparation was made. It suddenly appeared and caught them by surprise. And let me ask a question. How many have had something happen in your life that caught you by surprise? If you're not raising your hand, you are lying. Let me say it again. How many of you, come on, in life, something caught you by surprise, right? Could have been a good thing, but sometimes it's a bad thing, right? So here's the thing. That catches us by surprise, but there are things that happen in our life that doesn't catch God by surprise. God doesn't say, oh my goodness, Gabriel, the archangel. Did you see that coming? I did not see that coming. Man, maybe we should talk to Gabriel. Maybe we should talk to Michael. Hey, Michael, the archangel, did you see that coming? Nope, didn't see that coming. Woo, man, we are really behind it. Wait, see, the problem is you think you're surprised, you think God's surprised. So when I'm sitting in a meeting, Friday, I didn't think it would last 4 hours. And when they kind of surprised us, I'm like, ooh. In my heart, I said, didn't surprise you. God already knew. So if God already knew, like Jesus had authority over the suddenly. Come on, somebody. We have authority over the suddenly. And God will provide what we need. Why? Because he's not surprised. Somebody say amen to that. So all of a sudden now we understand that God is never surprised. So what happens is that Jesus now is not surprised. Jesus is not tripping. Why? Because he said this. He said, guys, we're going to go over to the other side. And suddenly a storm arose. We were building our building. We paid a lot of money for this building, Kmart building. And we designed all the building and just the outside glass and the outside of this former Kmart building was going to cost us $1.2 million. Just for the outside. I'm like, I don't care. You could put up cardboard for all I care. I'm like, $1.2 million? How did we miss this? Totally shocked, totally surprised. And I said, we don't got the dinero. Translation, money. I was tripping over the surprise. I'm like, what's going to happen? Then I had a friend said, hey, I'm in Orange County. Come and have dinner with me. So I drove down from Las Vegas because he always pays for dinner. How many know that's a good friend right there? Come on, wait. Well, how come people don't go out with me? Start paying. Everybody will go out with you. Just a little side note. You want friends? Pay for everything. I don't like those kind of friends. You don't have any now. Might as well have those kind of friends. That's funny. You should laugh. That was funny. So I drove down. And this is what he tells me. He says, hey, how's the building coming? Now, I wanted to say, it's not. We don't got enough money. The Lord spoke to me as I was driving down. He said, he's going to ask you and he's going to say, do you need more money? And you're going to say yes. And he's going to give you an amount. And then you say no. That's like the predominant thought in my head. I didn't think it was really God to say no. When anybody offers me money, I should always say yes. But he said no. So I knew it was God. He goes, hey. And he goes, this is what he tells me. He goes, are you a little short on the money? And I'm like, yes. He goes, how was $700,000 due? You know how much I wanted to say yes? I want to say yes. But Lord said, say no. I'm like, no. What did you say? No. Is that no? I said, no. And I kept eating. And in my mind, I'm like, you're stupid. El estupido. What did you do? You know? And I start speaking Spanish to myself when I'm mad at myself. And it's like, I blew it. Watch. We're eating. 20 minutes passed. He goes, so you're short on money, but $700,000 won't do. I said, nope. I said, if I lost it, I might as well lose it real good. Nope. Nope, nope, nope. Nope. And so he says these words to me. How would $1 million do? No, see, I didn't do oh. I didn't do oh. I said, yes. Yeah. And that guy wrote me $1 million check for the church. What am I trying to tell you, my friends? I'm trying to tell you that God is into something and we must recognize that. Watch me now. He is not surprised and God is on the move and God's going to do it. Come on, for Freedom House. Somebody say amen to that. Number three, hurry up. Number three, responses are always linked to perception. They're always linked to perception. Why? The disciples looked at the storm. They were perishing. It's over. It's too big. Oh my goodness, we got to raise another $1 million. It's too big. This is too impossible. Why are we doing this? Why is this happening? They were contradicting the disciples what Jesus had said. They got distracted by what was on the outside of the boat. They forgot who was inside the boat. Jesus had said they're going over to the other side. But listen to me. The suddenlies are to distract you. Not to stop you. Storm mentalities or perspectives will cause us to say the wrong things, believe the wrong things, determine the wrong things. Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat. Jesus was at rest. Why? Because he already heard his Father, because Jesus said, I don't say anything or do anything unless the Father speaks to me. So the Father had spoken, Jesus, you're going over to the other side. Great. Disciples, we're going over to the other side. So Jesus slept in the boat. Why? Because it didn't matter what happened on the outside. It didn't matter about the circumstance. Why? Because he knew his father had said, we're going over to the other side. And so his response was linked to a different perspective. The older I get, the more I find out life is more about perception than anything else. If I perceive something the wrong way, I will respond the wrong way. So the older I get and the more faithful I see that God is, now some things I don't trip over like I used to trip in the past. I used to freak out over things in the past. Now it's like, well, just another giant that's going to fall. Well, another mountain. Come on, somebody's going to move. Well, another healing that's going to take place. Another financial breakthrough that's going to take place. Oh, my business must get ready for an increase to help pay what God's doing at Freedom House Church. Your perspective is how your life really goes. So Jesus now, he's linked to a different perspective. He's linked to heaven. He sees things differently than the disciples really, really see. Now here's the crazy thing. The disciples were not scared or fearful of the storm. The wind and the waves are coming. It says this, when the wind and waves, the storm got inside, they got fearful. As long as it was outside, they were okay. What does that mean for my life? When things begin to get inside of you, when all of a sudden the fear starts getting inside and the thoughts say, I'm not going to make it, I'm going down, I lost my job, it is over. As long as that doesn't get inside, you will be okay. But when the storm gets in the inside, we have these mentalities and we're going over, it's not going to happen, it's not going to work, what's going on? See, that's why we're not tripping over having to raise more money, because God was not surprised by it. And now we're not going to react in the natural. We're going to respond like Jesus. And Jesus was cool because we're going over to the other side. Friends, I can't help but say this to you because I feel it. And if I didn't feel it, I wouldn't say it. But I know that I believe that I know that I know that I know that we are supposed to be over in Anaheim. We're supposed to take that building. We're supposed to take it for the glory of God. Can I say it to you this way? We're tired of leasing. It's time to own. I said, we're tired of leasing. Come on, somebody, it's time to own our own thing. So what happens? Jesus is resting on a pillow, and they say, we're going to perish. It's over. That's the point. We can't do it without Jesus. The storm will reveal two things, your lack of control and your trust in God. Storms, situations, suddenly don't come to shake your faith, but to solidify your faith. What's getting inside your boat right now in your mind? What negativity, unbelief, fear is leaking in your life right now? What is happening? What's going on? Well, the I don't plan on participating in the recession. I don't. So that's a little bold statement. Most millionaires were made in the Great Depression. What the world fears, we should not. Because there's opportunities that are opening up. Okay, you're not listening to me. I started buying wind stock when it was $60 a share. When everybody was fleeing, I start buying. It's $105 a share now. No, you got to hear me. When stuff goes crazy, opportunities arise. I'm getting ready to launch a business in the worst business environment ever. Right now. Spending money to do it. And my natural mind says, wrong time. My spirit says, right time. My natural mind says, look at the storm. My spirit man says, look at Jesus. My natural mind says, bad news. My spirit man says, good news. Okay, let me help you out because I want this to be applied to real life. Everybody was running away from Tesla stock and I got it at $103 a share. Google right now what Tesla stock is worth. Right now. Because everybody was saying, oh my gosh, it's so bad. It's so bad. Listen, we react, but Jesus responds. I'm telling you, there are opportunities that God is going to give to businesses to make money, and to make money not just for yourself, but to make money, come on, for the kingdom of God. There are people here, God's going to give some ideas and some thoughts and some stuff. It's not just for you. Come on, somebody. It's for somebody else that you're blessed to be a blessing. Next, last point, and then we're done. And then we got to get out of here, Pastor Louis. I got to go preach at Irvine. Point number five. Well, we don't have point number five. I have point number five. Do I have point number five? Oh, there's fear is linked to a lack of trust, not to surprising storms. When fear controls you, it's not the intensity of the storm. It's the lack of trust in who God is. I'm going to give the people that are writing notes because she's writing fast. So I'm going to wait for, I'll say it again for you. Okay, I'm going to say it slow. Fear is linked to a lack of trust. Here's what you do. It's not the storm, baby. It's your lack of trust in a God that is bigger than the storm. I have not seen your pastor waver one bit. Oh, I'm talking about private stuff. I call him up. Pastor Josiah, how you doing? Oh, Pastor Benny, that building is ours. The lenders looked at your pastor and said, and ask him questions. And he and Pastor Marie stood there, sat there, and they go, nope, we can do it. They go, well, would this scare you? Nope, we can do it. Well, would this amount scare you? Nope, we can do it. And your pastor and Pastor Marie, and she was so eloquent, I wish they would have videotaped it. It was amazing. And she says, we are a church that overcomes storms. We are a church that breaks barriers. Come on, we're a church that we move mountains. We're a church that says, no, devil, Orange County doesn't belong to you. Orange County belongs to Jesus. So as the band starts playing, because that's a sign we're ending, but we're not. Quit looking at your watch. I don't preach any faster because you're looking at your watch. I didn't like that statement. It's okay. You'll be fine. And I sat there, and I was quiet for most of the meeting, and I said, I got to say something. They said, well, we thought you were going to say something. And so I told them. I said, these are some of the greatest leaders, and I just said this. I'm going to be fully 100 with you. Is that what you still say, fully 100? Keep it real. No, that's old people. What do young people say? 100? 100, right? 100. Keep it 100. Thanks, bro, in the front row. Look, you actually been smiling. I've been preaching to you. The third guy with it, he's been scowling at me when I'm preaching at you, okay? I said, I'm proud of them as leaders, but I'm proud of them as young Hispanic leaders. Why? Because hold on. Because God makes everybody unique. Whatever ethnicity you are, you're supposed to bring that into the kingdom. Okay? But I'm proud that they're young Hispanic leaders, semi-young now, hanging on to your youngness. You're fighting for your life. It's okay. When you get to my age, Botox will keep it that way in Jesus' name. You have world-class leaders. And I want to say this. Listen to me, Freedom House. Me and my wife are sowing again into this church. I don't attend here. I attend in Las Vegas. If you ever come to Las Vegas, Church LV. We have two locations. Check us out. If you went big at the tables, tied to this church, give us an offering in Jesus' name. I'm not endorsing gambling. I'm just joking, but I know some of you are going to do it anyway, okay? But I want to pray for you. Because God's taking us somewhere. Can I say it this way? God's taking your life somewhere. How many have some people that you've been praying for to get saved? I'm raising my hand right now. Come on, wave your hand at me. Come on, wave your hand high. Like high, like I'm going to give you $1 million. Raise your hand high. Okay, put your hands down. How many people are believing God for some healings for some people that you know, some breakthroughs, come on, that you know? Okay, good. So this message is not just for the church corporately, but it's for you personally. God's taking Benny Perez somewhere. I'm dreaming that God's going to let me and my wife establish a multi-million dollar business so I could sow more into the kingdom of God than I ever sowed before. And I could leave an inheritance for my children's children. Poverty is not spiritual. Okay, listen to me. When Jesus died on the cross, he became sin so we can become righteous. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Jesus became sick by his stripes so we could be what? Are you with me? Jesus took the curse so we could be what? Blessed. Now listen to this. Jesus became an orphan. When did he become an orphan? There's only one time Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He never said that. He always said, Father. In the 3 hours when he was on the cross, he became an orphan so we can become sons and daughters. Listen to me. An orphan spirit, which is plaguing the body of Christ. And I'm starting to preach this at my church. The orphan spirit is robbing people because the orphan spirit says, I got to do it. I got to provide for myself. Nobody's going to be there for me. I got to make this happen. That's the orphan spirit. And some people are Christians with an orphan spirit, not a sons and daughters spirit. So that's why you can't release giving, because you believe as an orphan, you're supposed to provide for yourself. But as a son and daughter, come on, you believe you have a heavenly Father that is going to provide for you, so you're not worried about you doing what he said to do. Come on, somebody, help me preach right now. So I want to pray for you. And I know we have to get to Irvine, Pastor Louie, and I don't know who's going to close it out. Are you going to close it out, Pastor Louie, or somebody's going to close it out? I don't know. We'll figure it out. Are you guys still with me? Say amen. Okay, so I want to pray for you today. How many of you know God has spoken to you about your family, about something, and suddenly just kind of appeared? Come on, a problem, a situation, you started your business. See, some of us think, we're going to start a business, everything's going to go well. No, when you start a business, things now get disrupted and it's not going to go well. That's try to sideline you, but you know, no. Initiation is followed by disruption. Okay, don't want to get into my seminar. Okay, here we go. I want to pray for people that you are like, you left where you were and you know God's taking you somewhere, but you're caught in the middle. Does that make sense? If that's you, can I lift your hand? You have some suddenlies that hit you. Come on, be honest. Okay, stand to your feet if you have your hand up. Stand, if you raise your hands, stand to your feet. I don't know who you are. What's your name? Justin? I don't know you. Maybe you come here all the time. You come here all the time? Second time, okay? If you're gonna clap, that's a golf clap. Give a NFL football clap. So, I don't know you, I don't know what you do. Who's with you? Your friend, okay, your girlfriend and your friend, okay? You gotta be brave to sit in the front row second time, bro. I'm in the back second time, back there. They probably brought you here. Probably brought you to the front row. You got here too early. The key is get here late so you can sit in the back. Little inside information. Just want to let you know. I've been preaching and I see this cloud of favor over you. And God is putting you this ability for business to make money, to make wealth. I don't know anything about you. And I don't know what you're doing. Maybe it's happened already. But you came to this church. I don't care what hits you, what hits your family, what hits your girlfriend, what hits your friend. I'm telling you prophetically, God is going to make a way where there's no way. God's going to do what he said he's going to do. I don't know if it's a family member, but the Lord is working in your family. God is working on the individual. I see that. And the Lord is proud of you that you came back for a second time. And the Lord is speaking to you and your girlfriend and this nice friend with you right now, okay? And I'm telling you, you know the voice of God. You can hear it more clearly. And I don't know what God got, but God wants to do things in you so he can do things through you. I just want to give you a quick word for you. And I just hear this. I speak peace over you. God's got it. God's got your future. God's got some things we're trying to figure out. God's got it. If you trust him, say, God, I trust you in all things. I trust you in all things. You're an influencer. You influence. You have influence with people. You have influence, greater influence than you may even think, but God has put influence on you. God is, I see this on your forehead. That's not loser, that's leader. God is giving you a leadership gift on your life to influence, to lead, especially as a woman. There's no better house that you could be in a church than this one, because it's raising up fiercely feminine women here at this church. Leaders, like corporate leaders, leaders in every sphere. So you're standing, can you lift your hands towards heaven? Lift one hand towards heaven. Father, I pray for my friends. I pray, Lord God, that the sudden that has happened, but it didn't take you by surprise, Jesus. And Lord, we believe, Lord God, that you've spoken to us, and Jesus, you will bring us through no matter what storm has hit. The Lord has told me, speak healing. People are getting physically healed right now in the name of Jesus. Female issues are being healed right now in the name of Jesus. I curse cancer. Come on, in the name of Jesus. We command blood diseases to be healed in the name of Jesus. We declare right now, migraine headaches. Come on, somebody to leave in the name of Jesus. We declare loved ones, come on, to come back to Jesus. We declare right now, salvations right now in the name of Jesus. And we declare breakthrough over this house. And we're going to trust you, God, no matter what. And we call in more than enough, more than $1 million. Come on, somebody, because that campus belongs to Jesus. And we thank you. Come on, everybody stand up on your feet. Let's give God a 5-second praise break right now.